The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
From the 48-yard line, Watson with all day. Now flushed out. Thought about a deep shot in the end zone, nowhere to go. Watson with 5 seconds. Now he has to throw it. Middle of the field, Hopkins, it's too late. And that'll do it. Watson does not throw the ball away or run out of bounds, and the game is over. Mike Vrabel has his first win as a head coach. Just a stunning ending to a wacky game. And the Titans escape with a 20-17 win.
They played good coverage. Time ran out. And that was pretty much it.
Not need to get rid of the ball, though? I mean, throw the ball away.
And I mean, of course, but while you're playing, you can sit back and sit in your seats and say that I need to throw the ball away. But you know, we try to take a shot. We don't have any timeouts, and they guarded the sideline very well. So, you know, my instincts took over, try to get the ball, and time ran out.
All right, so much to get to from that game yesterday and a lot of other stuff from the weekend. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Bombshells in Pearland. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on from Jack's Grill on Shepherd.
My
We're
bad.
Nowhere near Pearland, yeah, John.
Yeah, that's a... Well, that's a fail.
Thank God, by the way.
I don't want to be there today. I'm glad we're here. Yeah, you just threw that one into the middle of the field with no time left on the clock, didn't you?
That was a mighty bit.
All right, welcome to the greatest
Bill
show.
Bill O'Brien at the helm for the Texans.
Yep.
At the helm for the Blitz today.
John's not my job.
It's not your job. Whose job is that to come up with that line or to start the show? I think that is your job, Coach. My goodness.
You got to coach better. You got to practice better.
Yeah.
Actually, it's funny. I was reading the transcripts, and there were at least three or four we got to coach betters in the transcripts today.
My favorite thing is watching the Texans on Twitter will play the Monday press conference with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the Texans allow this, but you can just comment as it goes, and there's no filtering. So whatever you write about Bill O'Brien will come up on the screen while he's talking. And, I mean, people are like, you won't be here for long, Coach. You suck. You've already poisoned Deshaun Watson. Thanks for nothing. I mean, like, just destroying this guy on the Texans team feed of his press conference. I'm not in charge of Texans PR, but if I were, I'd be like, hey, let's disable commenting during these press conferences, guys. Just to play on the safe side.
Can you blame him?
No, everybody should be pissed off about it. I mean, just what an... Yeah. I don't know. I know you're probably more insulted by what you saw yesterday than I was, even because you had higher expectations of them. But I really think that Bill O'Brien is bad enough to even to make a good team look bad, and I don't even know if this is a good team. So it ain't going to be great. And somebody reminded me that at the beginning of the season, my buddy Randy called me today and was talking about the game with me. He's like, man, when you said 7-9, 8-8, you know, nobody wanted to hear it. But now, man, 7-9 or 8-8 might be lucky to get to that. And it's just, I mean, it's two games. But, man, there is, like, first game, okay, Patriots beat you.
Right.
Patriots beat everybody. And they beat them in Foxborough. No real shame. This was a game where you went to play the Titans without either of their starting tackles.
They've got no pressure on him.
Their Pro Bowl tight end just broke his ankle last week.
And you let the other guy beat you.
And they have Blaine Gabbert at quarterback.
Who also beat you.
And they just, I mean, what are you, how does that happen? You're a bad team.
I think there were too many points that they gave away, I mean, absolutely gave away in this game. And I think, I've been hearing a lot of, well, first off, you heard the Deshaun Watson comments.
That's a disgusting comment.
It's dumb. And He's obviously getting very sensitive. We saw him react that way last week. That's not a good sign.
You know who
that's the first sign that I've seen in him that, I don't like to see sensitive little bitches as my quarterback.
Well, let me tell you what it reminds me of a lot. And I understand Deshaun's – he's never had to deal with stuff like this. I don't know if he's ever lost two games in a row in his life.
We saw that with Vince Young.
What I was going to say.
I know. When he started having adversity, he didn't deal with it well.
It's real easy – to play football when you're the big man on campus and everything's going right and your team is rolling. You forget that when you lose, a lot of the time it's the quarterback who has to sit there and answer those questions. Vince didn't handle it well. I mean, this is just the beginning for Deshaun, but not promising to say, oh, it's easy for you to say. No, it's easy for anyone who's ever watched football to say.
Or played football.
You got to get rid of that ball, bro. That's not like an armchair QB decision. That's a
at the very worst, throw it up in the end zone and hope for the best.
Right. So here's my crazy why I didn't understand what he said. Okay, your instincts take over. They played good coverage.
Okay, then you have bad instincts.
So your instincts were I'm gonna chuck it up there and try to make a play. Well, if that's your instinct, chuck it up to the end zone and try to make a play because you know that's the end of it.
Right.
So if you're gonna throw into traffic to Hopkins at the 20. How far do you think he can go after he catches that ball? I mean, he's dead on arrival. You've got to at least chuck it up. And the other question is, what was DeAndre Hopkins doing at the 20?
Right. Like, I mean, at that point, and if you have any instinct whatsoever, you know to get to the end zone. He's got to throw it to the end zone. That's your only hope.
Yeah. Or with after you scramble around for 10 seconds, you chuck it to the sideline and say, okay, we've got one more chance.
Right.
But he didn't do – there was nothing he did right that play. Not one thing.
Yeah, I do think – well, we'll get to this in a second. Let me set up the show for you. It's 713-780-3776 if you want to get
Everyone knows what the show's about today.
Well, but you'll need that number because we've got giveaways every hour. So be prepared for that. We're not going to take calls because we're on location at Jack's Grill, which very excited about Jack's Grill on Shepherd. We will be at Bombshells on Thursday for those of you who were confused. And very cool place. Happy to be here. It's great food, great atmosphere. Come on out and check us out. If you're just getting off work, you're welcome to come on out here. We'd love to have you.
And what I can see from here, nice full bar.
Yep, which I think I'm probably going to attack at some point. 25 years in Houston since 1993. Great staff. The Jack's Half Pound Burger is terrific. That's I'll be inhaling one of those later. And happy hour all day on Mondays, $4 margaritas, $2.75 domestic beers, and $3 imports. And this is the first time I've been to this one. I've been to the Jack's in Bel Air a bunch of times. So I like this one better. No offense to the other one. It's really good, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can text the show, 713-780-3776. You can get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at John Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. I have one thought. Well, I have a couple thoughts. And I wrote the five reasons they lost the game because if you look at it on the surface.
How'd you narrow it to five?
that's
a bold column to write.
More first downs for the Texans significantly.
Yeah.
Considerably more yards.
Yeah.
They averaged 2 yards per play more than the Titans. They ran for 148 yards with a 5.7 yards per carry. You're going to win most football games with that. And if you just look at Deshaun Watson's numbers –
If he was your fantasy quarterback, you did all right.
Now, there was a 50-yard garbage pass there at the end that helped him get over 300 yards.
Yeah.
But in his defense, and I think two problems. Deshaun was inconsistent in the game. The first half, he was terrible. You cannot give up points by throwing into double coverage trying to get the ball to Hopkins. And O'Brien took blame for that play call. But listen, I'm going to blame O'Brien for a lot of things. You can't make that throw. I know you want your guy to go up and make a play. If it's one-on-one, absolutely you take a chance. If the defender beats him, okay. But double coverage, you can't do it. That costs you points. I think that that was a terrible decision, and I think the pass at the end of the game was a terrible decision. In between, while he struggled a little bit early, he was very, very good in the second half. And showed some flashes, and I thought looked a lot better. And I think it's a different narrative today if they win the football game. A lot of people blaming him. And the reality is, yeah, those were two stupid decisions. And in a game that close, they're going to cost you. But they gave away so many points with penalties. They gave away so many points on special teams. I mean, what the hell was that? And I saved I saved the transcript today from Bill O'Brien on that punt. Because I want to read this to you. And, you know, you tell me what you think. I've got to find it now. But basically, but well, we'll get to that as soon as I find it. I hate these. You got it? Okay, play it, John. Because I'd
like
to.
That was a bad play call. You know, I felt like studying that during a week, we felt like they would handle that differently. We showed them a certain look, and we felt like it would be handled differently, and they did a good job. They handled it differently than we thought, and that's a mistake on my part.
They saw it differently. In other words, we got our pants pulled down. We were totally unprepared for that, and that was the problem. This is 2 weeks in a row. They've been unprepared for the start of a football game. They got caught on that big time, because how do you not cover a gunner?
Well, that makes, do you remember, no sense. They didn't do it in week one, and it didn't cost them.
Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel probably, I mean, I don't know if he might not be a good coach, but it doesn't take a genius to figure out, hey, because I don't think the Titans went out there and said, okay, if we get stopped on our first drive, we're going to try a fake punt. They said, hey, if for whatever reason these crazy-ass Texans don't cover up the gunners, let's just chuck it over there and see what happens.
And steal points. And that's how you win football games like that, when you've got Blaine Gabbert at quarterback.
I thought this new special teams guy is a guru.
Yeah, well, and they special teams lost them this game, because not just that.
They missed a field goal.
They missed a field goal, and then they were scared to attempt another field goal that would have kept the game tied, or that would have at least sent the game to overtime after some really questionable play calling in that situation again. You know, you don't give yourself a chance to win. You're giving up essentially 9 points there on special teams. You lost by three. It's easy to do the math. And I just think as you said, there's no embarrassment losing to the Patriots. In fact, if you go in and lose to a Titans team with Mariota and Lawan on it, no real embarrassment there. But this group was not as talented as you.
No.
And you're supposed to win that football game. And you got out-coached, and you made stupid mistakes. And, you know, the other things that I mentioned were, you know, obviously being unprepared at the start and Watson being inconsistent. But 11 penalties for 88 yards, and I would say half of those were critical penalties, one taking away a 25-yard gain. You're just swinging the field 40 yards on things like that. And then the
Clowney penalty, which that's unacceptable.
Let's talk about that when we come back, because there's so much I want to get to here. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Guys, Carb Oktoberfest is kicking off this Thursday. It's going to run through October 7th. 3-week celebration. Features performances by Mr. Wives, Tony, Jack Ingram, Bruce Robinson, John Bauman, and more. The free beer garden festivities start at 5 o'clock every Thursday through Saturday and noon on Sunday. And those free events include ceremonial keg tapping of Carb Oktoberfest, a live traditional German band, men and women stein hoisting competitions. Paid admission to the Carb Oktoberfest music tent is $10 on Thursdays and Fridays, $20 on Saturdays. This weekend's lineup, 2 Tons of Steel on Thursday, Los Carnales on Friday, and Mr. Wives on Saturday. So it's going to be a great weekend of music. For the complete Carb Oktoberfest lineup and ticket information, visit carbockbrewing.com/carboktoberfest2018, or just do it the simple way. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You'll find out all the details there. Pick up your favorite Carbock beer today, or just ask your bartender to please make it a Carbock.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Yeah, not too much information on that, Aaron, just that, you know, Stocker caught it on the sideline and went out of bounds, and he was bumped, and there was words exchanged, and that's the only info I've gotten on that to this point.
And we are back on The Blitz. That was Billy O on Jadeveon Clowney, who wasn't even active and made an impact on the game. How good is he?
Yeah.
Can I go back to something I said a few months ago before the draft? You should have traded that guy then. He's useless. He was useless last week. He's coming off his best season when everybody else was hurt, so he was able to put up some numbers. But to not be able to play and then do something like that and cost your team.
I mean, his teammates have to be pissed at him, I would imagine.
Well, they should be. That's just a juvenile thing to do. It's dumb. It's bad football, which we're seeing a lot out of these guys. And, yeah, that was one thing. And then Lamont brought up something else that I've been wanting to bring up. Is this new and approved Bill O'Brien's offense we are seeing?
Boy, I hope not.
I have a theory. I think when he got his extension, which all of us said he shouldn't have got, it's like, okay, I'm going to make Deshaun Watson fit in this offense rather than all the stuff they were doing. Oh, we're going to put in a brand new offense. Where is all the stuff that worked last year? Where's the misdirection? Where's the screen passes? Instead, he's going to sit back there in the pocket and Tom Savage it. I mean, this is not the offense we saw with Deshaun last year. And, you know, maybe not having Deontay Foreman takes away that element of being able to catch the ball out of the backfield, but I'm pretty sure Lamar Miller can catch it.
Yeah, he's all right.
And I don't understand where those plays are this year because we haven't seen any of them. Yeah, the misdirection where he rolls out and the bootlegs and all that stuff.
No, the only time he runs is when the pocket collapses and he runs straight up the middle.
Yeah.
And the Titans, guess what? They figured that out. They jumped out, caught him by the ankle right in the first quarter. The pocket collapses. He thinks he's going to take off up the middle, and they're like, no, we're wise to that, bud. And you've got to be more creative with this guy. You've got this tool that's so versatile, and you're just pretending like he's Brock Osweiler, and yeah, all he can do is sit in the pocket and throw.
And that's not what they did with him last year.
Nope.
That's why they were so effective. And I didn't like it when I heard him say he's going to put in an all-new offense.
Why?
Because what? Oh, well, the league's going to adapt. Well, make the league adapt first. And then once they do, then you can start messing around with other plays. But if this is your big change to turn him into a pure pocket passer and just drop back there and hold on to the football.
Which, by the way, I'm not saying that Deshaun Watson can never be a pure pocket passer. At this point, he's not a starting NFL caliber pocket passer. Like, he's still kind of a two-read guy. I think Hopkins and Fuller had 20 out of the 32 targets in this game. Like, it's his route tree is basically, okay, I'm going to go to Hopkins. Well, if he's not open, I'm throwing it to Will Fuller.
I would just point out that most of the patterns, that's all he had was two guys in the pattern. They were still keeping nine guys back. So, I mean, that's
to try to protect him. Yeah, right, it's not like tight ends were going out on routes.
Right, that's really not on him. He had two. There were a lot of patterns where it was just the two guys. And that's another thing. I mean, the things that – and I don't think the penalties by the offensive line were pretty bad. But they gave him time yesterday, except for when they were blitzing, they didn't pick up the blitz at all. That's something that they need to work
on. They just clear out of the way, and they're like, oh, hey, go ahead and sack him.
But in Watson's case, there were two other issues that, you know, nobody ever wants to talk about quarterbacks fumbling the football, which I think are more damaging than interceptions because of where they occur.
Well, he picked them up both times.
Yeah, and one of them was just not paying attention on the snap again, which is what happened last week. One of them was a great play by Jarrell Casey to knock the ball out. And he was able to get that ball, which I don't know how he did it. But those are other things that are negatives. But I just I want to see them go back to some of the plays that worked last year and why he's gotten away from that other than, oh, I've got my contract extension. I don't have to, you know, mix things up and try to do things that are going to fit my quarterback. I'm going to make him fit me. If that's the case, you made a horrible mistake. I've already said you never should have extended the guy. He should have proved it this year. And I don't care about your lame duck BS when it comes to coaches.
Right.
That guy never should have got an extension. I've been saying it for months. There was no reason to do it. And now, I mean, I don't think the whole season's over. Because I do see defensively, I think they will get better because most of Cornell's teams throughout the course of the year get better as the season goes on. Now, they need to because, and everybody was about how great the defense played. They played great third quarter where they shut them down.
Yeah.
But you gave up two drives to Blaine Gabbert with the game on the line for them to get field goals. Where's your pressure? Where's Whitney Merciless, by the way?
Where's J.J. Watt, by the way?
Yeah, at least J.J. you saw break off a couple of tackles and, you know, wind up in the backfield, although nowhere near the quarterback.
But you're telling me against backup tackles, that guy can't cause some hell back there?
Yeah, he was not good yesterday, but he was a lot better. I mean, Whitney Mercilus, is he even on the team?
Well, I said Mercilus, Clowney, and Watt. I don't know. Do they have a sack yet combined between the three of them? I don't think they do.
No, I mean, Watt probably should have got a half sack in the first game where he got Brady's legs, but they gave that to Reeder. But
I think Ejiofor is the best pass rusher they have right now, and they barely have him on the field.
Yeah, I think he's going to see more time.
I think he has to. Yeah. I mean, he's the only guy who's got, like, real pass rush moves and is actually making things happen. You know, you mentioned that Brennan Scarlett. I said I don't know why Brennan Scarlett's out there on pure passing downs. And you mentioned he did make a good play on the double pass penalty by Blaine Gabbert, which, by the way, while they called it right, that rule is pretty crappy.
Yeah, I agree. It, to me, it's like
that should be a.
It's like the fumble out of the end zone rule. It's just kind of a stupid rule.
Yeah, that should be a loss of down and I mean it should be like a intentional grounding.
Yeah, but
and by the way, Deshaun Watson got away with an intentional grounding too. I thought during that game he was like 3 or 4 yards short of the line of scrimmage when he threw one away.
One other little play that I thought was really good, and I don't remember which Titan did it, but after they give up the big play to Davis. And he fumbles the football,
mm-hmm.
and there's four Texans around it, and one Titan slides in and just knocks the ball out of bounds. That was a real smart heads-up play, the kind of play you never see the Texans do.
Yeah.
It's just a little play, but that's a game changer.
Yeah.
Because the score's tied, you get the ball back and a chance to go down and win. If you recover the fumble and he just knocks it out of bounds, and you're like, okay, still our ball. That's it's little stuff like that that you see other teams do that it frustrates you that the Texans don't do any of that.
Yeah.
And apparently J.J. Watt was a little salty, too, and Jong has that audio, so let's listen to that.
J.J., a lot of guys have the best tackles to not have more pressure collectively. How disappointed with them to not have more pressure on the
guy? I mean, when did you want pressure? I mean, they sat there and they quick-throwed it. They'd throw a quick throw out to the side. They'd put two. They'd have both the running backs chip. They'd have a tight end chip. I mean, they threw a three-step. They ran the ball. I mean, I don't know when you wanted pressure. I don't know when there was a 7-yard drop-back pass that you thought we didn't get enough pressure. But, I mean, they're smart. They had a good game plan. They knew that they had their guys out, so they had a game plan put together that they didn't need to protect against a pass rush like ours. So, you have to give them credit. They did a good job of creating a game plan that didn't put their tackles in harm's way.
You've started 0-2 before. You come back and make the playoffs. Is it your mindset? Or?
No, I'm just going to give up.
No.
I mean, what kind of answer do you want there? I mean, yeah, obviously we're going to go to work. We're going to learn from our mistakes. But, I mean, come on. That's a ridiculous question.
That's a ridiculous question.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Come on, JJ. Everybody's a little salty. But you know what I keep hearing? Both from the coach, from the quarterback, from J.J. Watt, is that they were out-schemed.
Yeah, and that ain't a good sign.
Not against that team.
No. So. It's funny, one of the reasons why even getting points, and it got up to 4 points on the Titans, I didn't want to take them because I was like, I just don't think much of Mike Vrabel as a coach. But at least Mike Vrabel was smart enough to figure out that Bill O'Brien's not a good coach, and he could probably beat him in that game. I really think it's going to be hard for Texans fan to think that they've got a coaching advantage against anybody.
Yeah, especially if you don't have a coaching advantage against a first-year coach who was a terrible defensive coordinator.
Who was under you.
Yeah. Then who are you going to have an advantage against?
Yeah. And one thing I've noticed through 2 weeks, the Texans are – they are not the kind of team I think that can contend for this division. Jacksonville is as good as advertised.
Maybe better.
Maybe better.
Because Blake Bortles actually looked like a real quarterback yesterday.
And guess what? Indianapolis ain't bad. If Andrew Luck stays healthy, Indianapolis is better than the Texans. And yesterday, the Titans beat the Texans with a skeleton crew. Texans may be the worst team in this division. And I know it's early, but, man, show me something to make me think otherwise.
I think they can get better, but so much of it's on the head coach. And I don't trust him, even a little bit. And I just go back to giving him an extension. I was okay with bringing him back for this year. But I would have also made sure I had somebody on staff that could take over if he
did. Yeah.
But I would never have extended him. And now you're – I I just don't know what to say about this team. 0-2 on the road against those two teams. If the Titans were healthy, I'd be like, okay, they still have plenty of time to get this together. And they do.
But, and guess what? This week, someone's always got to go.
Yes, again. For the second week in a row.
Third week in a row, yeah.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz live at Jack's Grill on Shepherd. Very easy to find. It's right in the middle of all these cool places, and this is the coolest place of all. So get your butts out here if you're just getting off work. We'll be here till 7. Come on by, get one of those burgers, get you some drink on, and sit back and listen to The Blitz as we'll move on from the Texans at some point. But I need to give something away. Two tickets to Oktoberfest Houston at Oktoberfest Houston showcases the best in German and Texas culture. Craft beer and music lovers gather for the most festive day of the year. So grab your lederhosen and dirndls to taste a variety of beers while you listen to the best polka music in Texas. At the Waterworks at Buffalo Bayou Park, September 29th, general admission starts at just $25. Get your tickets now at Oktoberfest. That's Oktoberfest with a K, Houston.com. And don't call until 4:36, and we'll take the 10th caller at 4:36. That gives the streamers a chance because we care. What?
You said we're going to move on from the Texans at some point. I don't know when.
Yeah, it's going to be a while.
Yeah, I don't know that we can.
I've already got a couple people asking about lines for next week. I've not even looked.
No.
But tomorrow afternoon at 6 o'clock, we usually take an early look. So please tune in then. But I have
Texans will be favored at home against the Giants.
Yeah, I think they went from 3-6 already.
There's no way you can bet the Texans right now.
No. The thing is, there's no way I can bet the Giants either. So I wouldn't touch that game with a 10-foot pole. And I'm coming off a pretty bad pick week. I think I was 1-3 on my pregame stuff. But the games that I left off, that I let myself get talked out of, those are all winners. And it just drove me nuts. But the good news is I killed it at poker and horses out there. So I had a really good weekend.
Yeah, I killed it at poker. And I died in a bloody fire on blackjack tables. So
it's same old story.
Same old story.
Yeah, this time, instead of crushing it at poker and then blowing it on the horses, I crushed it at poker and then crushed it on the horses.
Yeah.
And so that makes for a good weekend. But, I honestly feel like my poker game is about as good as it's been right now. The way that, Friday night I had a second, and then we wound up chopping at the Mandalay. And that was fun. I mean, it was just, like, so back-to-back. And really all week long, even the pots I lost playing cash or I lost in the tournaments, I got in with the best. So
yeah.
I feel really good about where I am right now. But I don't feel really good about the Texans.
Nor should you. And is this true? Lamont says if by some miracle Watson scored on that last play, it would have been challenged and overturned. He was clearly beyond the line of scrimmage.
I don't know if he was clearly. It sure looked like he passed it, though. And it was because he ran forward and then he ran back. And I need to watch it again, but I don't know if it was clear, but it sure looked like he was, and it probably would have been overturned. But, that whole play was just a cluster bleep. And I put that one on Watson. You know, I'll blame O'Brien for a lot of stuff. Those back-to-back sideline passes to me were just dumb.
But Fred, instinct takes over.
Yeah, well, that's not a good instinct, Deshaun. And you know, stop being so sensitive, man. Step up and deal with it and just say, you know what, that was a dumb decision. And I'll get better next time. And let's be fair, they had very little chance of winning at that point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's easy to focus on the last play and say, oh, this was dumb. But the reality is, even if he does everything right, their win percentage is less than 1% at that point.
But honestly, like, I don't know. I went back
but
to...
But give yourself a chance. It's the same thing I said about last week.
The last week's game where the score ends up being closer than it was, I felt like, this game wasn't that close. This game... It never felt like the Texans should even have a chance to win the game. Like, it just felt like they were outplayed and outcoached. And the effort Say what you will about coaching, and it plays a big role. At some point, it's on the players to go out there and show some energy.
Yeah.
And they just look like they're all zombies out there. Nobody's excited. Nobody's juiced up. Nobody's into it, it felt like. It just feels like they're like, meh, all right. Even Deshaun, who was like such a great injection of energy last year, it's like, I mean, I guess that's a welcome to the NFL. This is, you know, it's not always fun and games, but man, they just don't look like they're having much fun right now, and they don't look like they have the energy that's going to lead to them winning games down the road.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I do think when they took the lead at 17-14, I felt like, okay, this, you know, defense makes a stop here. They probably get another score, and this one's over. And then the defense proceeded to not do anything. And honestly, no turnovers.
Yep.
Against Blaine Gabbert. And part of that was the Titans ran the ball.
They were safe.
And played very safe football. But if they're going to do that, then you should be able to stop some of those pass plays. And they weren't able to do it. And what, no matter what JJ says about the lack of pressure, there were some rollouts. There were some plays where Gabbert sat back there a little bit. You didn't get to him. And, you know, you can bitch all you want at the reporter for asking the question, but the reality is you didn't play well. And the defense needed to step up and make a play, and at no point did they. And that's to me, another thing that cost them the game is that, you know, in a close game like that, it's going to turn on a special teams play or a defensive play usually, and that's exactly what happened. It was just the other team.
Yeah, Titans won special teams. Titans, they won turnovers. That's pretty simple. I think we mentioned it briefly before, but the interception that Deshaun threw, I mean, that's double coverage. That's just trying to force a big play to one guy. And Dory Jackson's not a bad player. Like it's not like you're
no, he made a hell of a play.
You can't just
on
pick
it.
On a guy, but like, you know.
Well, he was trying to pick on two guys. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You can't do that. So, Drunk Bevo says, last year you saw Watson playing a Clemson-type offense, and now he's playing Bills. This is why you don't extend a coach with a losing record. And that's, you know, that. And that was the point I was trying to make. This is, he's treating him like he's Tom Savage. And yeah, you're not going to win football games, like, at least not very many. And I find it frustrating that if he's trying not to get him hurt, well, okay, that's fine, but you're not going to win football games.
Let me ask you this. Do you think maybe last season it was a matter of, okay, it's halftime of the first game. I know you're not fully, you don't have the full playbook in you maybe, so just go out there. Have some fun, do what you can do, and we'll figure it out as we go. And then it worked, so they never
well,
changed
from case,
that.
If that's the case, why change from it now?
That's kind of what I'm thinking. But
that's the thing that bothers me the most is that none of the things that were working so well for them, the shovel passes, the screen passes, the misdirection, where is all that?
I don't know.
And you know, that's how you slow down a blitz is screen passes.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Well,
I'm just asking because I don't know.
I mean, I guess the other thought, the train of thought is, you need all your running backs and tight ends to stay back to help the quarterback not get murdered.
Well, but that being the point, then okay, where were those slants that worked so well against the Patriots last week? That was the one thing that worked. Where were those? Get get the ball out quickly.
Well, and I don't know if was there a single reception by tight ends?
Yeah, Thomas had one that I recall. I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure I know he had at least one.
Because, man.
Although it might have got overturned by penalty now that I think about it.
When you don't have a lot of time to get the ball out, that might be the route you want to go. No, zero receptions for Thomas, two for Akins, one for Griffin.
Akins did. It was Akins, not Thomas. I get those two Jordans confused. That's my fault.
Okay.
It's on me.
They don't look the same at all.
I have to watch better. But, one of them is 6'7".
Right. One's a giant.
Yeah.
It's a
but I mean that all of that's available to you, and okay, I can understand if you just want him to sit back there and not get hurt, run some of those plays.
Yeah,
I think run a few of them, and then you can do your drop back and do this, and just keep them off balance. You're so predictable.
Yeah, it's like they say in boxing about you've got to use your jab to set things up, because if you just go out there and all you're doing is throwing bombs, it's easy to see coming. And the Texans, Watson seems like he just wants to go downfield. And if you don't show them that you're willing to dink and dunk for a little while and then take a shot downfield, you're not going to win. You can't just come out. I mean, no offense to Deshaun. You're not Tom Brady. You're not just going to be able to go out there and win. And even Tom Brady doesn't do that. Tom Brady, look at what he did yesterday when things weren't going well for him. How many times did he dump it off to James White in that game? Like, you've got to be able to do that to eventually make those big hits. And
yeah,
granted, Tom Brady doesn't have the weapons down the field that Deshaun Watson does, but there's guys who Aaron Rodgers does, and Aaron Rodgers will still dink and dink and dink and then chuck it deep. Because you can't just go out there throwing haymakers in the NFL and expect it to work. You're not playing against Virginia this week. That's not Wake Forest,
but
on the other side of the ball.
I don't think that's on him. I think that's a play O'Brien's calling. And I.
But every play that's called has a progression that you go through for wide receivers.
It does. It does. But again, if you've got two receivers in the route, AJ, what are you supposed to do?
Guess you're right.
I'm not saying that. I'm not letting him off the hook because I think he had two critical errors in that game and a couple of bad decisions. But for the most part, I don't think...
And it could have been more critical errors.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he was as bad as everybody is trying to make it sound today. But the combination of what O'Brien's trying to do and what he's trying to turn him into, it ain't working.
No.
And it's some changes have to be made. And if he can't... If O'Brien can't figure this out on his own, somebody else needs to be calling plays.
Yep. All right, guys, it's Gulfgate time. The savings never stop out at Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. They are your savings headquarters Monday through Friday and every Sunday during Ram's Power Days out at Gulfgate. Lease the all-new 2019 Ram Lone Star for only $394 a month. They've got the largest Ram inventory in the loop, and they've got Jeep Adventure Days coming up. You can lease the all-new 2018 Jeep Wrangler JL for just $319 a month. They've got a new state-of-the-art service center. It's now open twice the size to service twice the vehicles by their certified technicians. They know how to treat your vehicle right. Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway. Always open online at gulfgatedodge.com. 2019 Ram Lone Star, 36-month lease, 10,000 annual miles, 1,000 due at signing. 2018 Jeep Wrangler JL, 36-month lease, 10,000 annual miles, 0 due at signing. Tax, title, and registration additional. See dealer for details.
Delicious app in the business and the easiest steak you can download.
Wait, I think I messed that up.
The most delicious steak in the business and the easiest sports radio app you can download.
Nice.
Yeah, right?
Saltgrass Steakhouse presents the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Jack's Grill on Shepherd. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live at Jack's Grill on Shepherd. If you're just getting off of work, just getting in your car, come on out and join us. Hang out. We'll have some fun. Quick pitch for SportsMap.com today, which... Man, it's loaded. The last yesterday and today, I think I posted like 14 stories or something ridiculous.
Yeah,
so there's something for everybody. Cody Stutes is leading the site right now with his week two, three headlines, two questions, one bet. Joel has a column on the Rockets assistant retiring. Holly has her NFL week two recap on video this week. Mindy Leveno has a video up. Charlie Polillo has a video up, all on the Texans. We got our Astros report up, which we'll get to them at some point. We've got Jermaine Every's observations on the Texans. He also has his observations on the Saints game. We've got the Texans gamer up. We've got the Texans player of the game from Cody Stutes, who was Will Fuller. You have my story on five reasons the Texans lost to the Titans, which is getting a lot of run. And the Saturday NCAA football recap is up. And there's a party with DJ Reader tomorrow. There's a story about that. Salman Ali has a Rockets story under the Rockets' position to trade for a third star, and he goes through a couple of possibilities. So, I mean, there's just plenty of great stuff.
Third star? What do you mean?
Don't say Mello. Don't say Mello. No, he's got some potential trades for either Jimmy Butler or Anthony Davis, and how the Rockets could do it. And all of that is on SportsMap.com. It's a good read. It really is. I mean, it's just so much great stuff on there, and very proud of the job everybody's doing. So please check it out. You'll find something you like on there, no matter what you're into. And you can also follow us on Twitter at SportsMapHOU, And I'm now told next week is when we'll have everything ready to go for the new migration, which will be awesome. But in the interim, please check all that out. So there's my plug for SportsMap. It was funny. I wasn't sure what I was going to write yesterday. And then I'm looking at the stats going, how the hell did they lose this game? And so I went to, I went and picked out the reasons, and it just kind of worked. But Matt says, I don't know what you're talking about. O'Brien loves to run the screen on 2nd and 25 every time.
Yeah, that's when he goes for it.
Yeah, yes, they still have the screen pass in their offense. I'd like to see – here's another thing. I'd like to see him throw the ball more on first down when there's not a blitz. And they were running the ball well yesterday, which was good, but it just seemed like they were so – I mean, it just seemed like everything they did, the Titans knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And especially in the passing game. So, I don't know, man. I hate to be the bang on Bill O'Brien guy. I did praise him when he adjusted to Watson last year.
Yeah.
But I got to say, I don't have a positive thing to say about the guy right now.
Well, I'm with you. I feel like he's the main reason they lost this game. I'm not going to say he's the only reason, but I feel like he's the biggest culprit. I think it is important that you not just overlook what Deshaun Watson did at the end of that game, because
at some point
that's out of the coach's hands.
No, you can't, and that's one that he needs to learn from that and not say, oh, well, that my instincts took over. Well, then your instincts suck, Chief.
Yeah, I hope that's not your instinct.
Yeah, and what you should do is go back and look at that and say, all right, I got to get rid of this ball and let's take one more shot. Or just throw it to the end. There's so many things. Now, again, at that point, I think you've already lost the game, but give yourself at least an opportunity for a fluke.
Yeah.
And it would have been a fluke. There's no question. And you took away any chance there. And that was on the quarterback. And I still think, even though Brian said he called the interception play, I still think that's on the quarterback. If you see two guys there, and I know you want to let Hopkins go up and try to make a play, but that's not a 50-50 ball. That's about a 20% ball. And that means 80% of what's going to happen is bad.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. Just throw it away, because you cost yourself points there. In a 3-point game, you could at least been in overtime.
Yeah.
Assuming Fairbairn would actually make the kick. So there's that. 2-1 said, also, what happened to Watson scrambling 4 to 7 yards to keep him honest? He actually ran for 40 yards yesterday, so that's about the amount you want to see out of him.
Right.
And, that was there. That part of the game was there. It was good. It was useful. I like the idea of occasional called runs, but not right up the middle. Those misdirections. And there were so many times when they handed the ball off to Miller and Watson rolled on like if he was going to keep the ball, where there was nobody there. And
right.
I just wanted him to just once try that.
I'm curious, now that we've seen two games of the Texans, now that we've seen really two games of the NFL, I'm curious what your thoughts are on how the Texans finish at this point. 14 games to go, knowing the schedule that they have in front of them.
Well, it's easy for me to overreact right now and say, oh, they're a 6-10 team. But
is that an overreaction?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, 2 weeks in, two road games. I need a couple more weeks to see before I can make a real determination of what they're going to be. Because I do think there's adjustments that can be made. I don't know if they'll make them. Now, if O'Brien makes those adjustments and gets the offense back to where it was last year, then I still think they can have a really good season. But if they don't, if this is what they're going to be, and then, I mean, this is just a slightly better version of the Tom Savage offense.
So, I mean, they could be 6-10. 6-10 might not be an overreaction, because
yeah, it's, well, I mean,
I said 7-9 or 8-8, and
I think that's,
and honestly, this game is probably one of the ones that I would have wanted to give them if they were going to be 8-8. And as you look down the list of what they've got left, there's all the games that we looked at the beginning and we were like, okay, that's a free square. The Bills is a free square. Like, there's almost zero chance they lose to the Bills. The Browns, I tend to think, is still a free square, although, they played New Orleans really well and they played the Steelers really well. I don't know if that says more about the Steelers and the Saints or the Browns, but it's definitely not as much of a free square as it was 2 weeks ago. Then everything else is like, man, at the Jets, like
That's the thing. I look at their schedule, and I think they could win every home game except Jacksonville. unless that means nothing for Jacksonville in Week 17.
Okay.
I don't know that I see a road win. I think that was their chance. honestly, I mean, when you look at it, okay.
At Colts, at Jags.
At Colts would be a loss right now.
At Broncos?
That's a loss right now.
That's a loss, I would think. At Redskins?
Winnable, but do you see? I haven't seen anything yet that tells me they'd win that game.
And then at Jets, at Eagles.
You're not beating the Eagles. By then, they're going to be playing well. And at the Jets now doesn't look. So, I mean, you have two
and
games.
And mind
there.
You, winning all your home games includes beating Jacksonville and beating the
Colts.
No, I
said other than them. I very specifically said other than Jacksonville, they should be able to win their home games. You should be able to beat the Colts at home if you're any good. You should be able to beat the Titans at home. And
well, if that's the case, then you're talking about a six-win team.
I'm talking about seven wins probably. Because you win one of those road games, right? Whether it's the – I think Jets and Washington are your best chance. You win one of those maybe.
Okay.
But – maybe. But that's if you play better. And
I just can't picture this team going undefeated or 7-1 at home. Like, that would shock me.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not impossible. I mean,
it's not.
You look at the teams they're playing. And
well, right now, the Colts, to me, are better than the Texans.
They are, but, I mean, playing at home, I still think that's a big edge. I think they could beat the Cowboys at home. They're certainly beating the Bills.
Cowboys look pretty good yesterday, though. I mean,
Dolphins are playing better, but I still think that's a short week. You should win that Thursday night game. The Titans you should beat at home. Definitely the Browns. The Colts, I don't know. But at that point, I'm expecting them to be playing better, and that may be unfair. That may be overly optimistic.
So 7-9?
Right now, yeah. If you stuck a gun to my head, I'd say 7-9. And with the Jacksonville game at the end being the swing, because what if they don't care?
Then they're sitting everybody. Fair.
Because they may run away with this division the way they look right now.
Well, and you said at the beginning of the show, you could see them losing to the Giants this week. That's a home game.
I could see them losing to the Giants, but I could also.
And if that's the case, the season's just a disaster. Yeah,
at that point, we're looking at a 3-13, 4-12 type of team. And if that's the case, I think everybody's fired. I don't care about your extension. You have to make a change.
Boy, because for the way it seems, Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien are tied together. That
well,
it might be a full house cleaning, which I just can't imagine that
if
quickly.
You go 4-12 again,
if Watson stays healthy and you
healthy,
go 4-12, oh.
Then everybody dies. They have to,
and they should.
Yeah,
they won't to. But they should. There are so many energy providers out there, guys, tons of them, and they're always offering different deals, free weekends, free days, cash bonuses, sometimes big cash bonuses, like $600, and you'll say, man, that sounds great. Then you fall for that offer, and then come to find out, wait a minute, months later, you're paying a higher rate, or they're throwing additional fees on your bill. That's no good. Triangle, they keep it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you pay. There's no gimmicks. There's no minimum usage fees. No charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. Just good, honest business from a good, honest, born in Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE, or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get yourself an additional discount. That's 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. Promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064.